Welcome to The Jump. I am your host, Rachel Nichols. We've got NBA champ Richard Jefferson. We've got NBA champ Kendrick Perkins. And then we have, two-time NBA champ Chris Bosh on the line as well. Welcome to all of you friends. Now, Chris, you can't see what Perk has got on his feet. But he's got the J1s on, and I got to tell you, very crispy.
Can we pan up?
No, listen.
Pan up. Immediately.
Keep the camera
what
right
to your
there.
Knees, dog?
Hold on. This is my moment, not yours.
My fault.
Look, here it is, Rachel. I will spend money on Jordans, and I know I debate the GOAT conversation. I go with Bron, but I just feel like I shouldn't have to go buy LeBron James shoes out of the store. I hope you're watching the show. What you want to point out, man? What moment you want?
I was just wondering what happened to your knee.
I fell, man. I tripped over the sign and I fell and I hurt myself. What you want me to say?
It's a small hole in his pants. It's not a big hole. It's just a small little rip.
Honestly, that'll buff out, man. That'll be fine.
Oh, boy. We will discuss so much in the show, including maybe we'll get to Richard shoes. We'll find out. First, though, let's talk a little bit about last night. You'd be surprised how many things in nature can happen in just half a second. A woodpecker, for example, can peck at a tree 10 times in just half a second. Also in half a second, a mosquito beats its wings around 300 times. For humans, it's a lot tougher to do anything in half a second, although here in Phoenix, they seem to have mastered it. Yep, forget Steve Nash's 7 seconds or less. This year's edition of the Suns operates on an offensive principle Coach Monty Williams calls 0.5, which means that whenever a guy touches the ball, he has just half a second, or 0.5, to decide whether to shoot it, pass it, or drive it. 0.5 is what helped the Suns step on the gas and finally blow by the Clippers in the conference finals. And last night, 0.5 helped Phoenix go up 2-0 on the Bucks. Part of the benefit of this system is it moves the defense around to create more space for three-pointers. And indeed, in Game 2, the Suns took 40 threes and made 20, a franchise playoff record. Devin Booker in particular benefited. He had 7 of those made threes on his way to 31 points. But it was hardly just him. Watch this insane 12-pass sequence from the end of the first half. Constant motion, taken to the extreme. And even though Milwaukee actually does a nice job defending here, watch how much running around the Bucks players have to do just to keep pressure up on the play until the Suns' quick decision-making eventually break things open for that DeAndre Ayton basket. Ayton even drew a foul on the play, part of an overall second-quarter surge that let Phoenix enter halftime up double digits. I mean, right? It also frustrated, of course, Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo so much that we saw this in a timeout in the huddle.
Yeah, I think his message was just, you know, it's not about any of us individually. It's about us collectively. Stay together, stick together, take it one possession at a time was his message in that timeout.
That kind of leadership and growth Giannis showed there, it's notable. Being that vocal is definitely not something we would have seen him do just a couple years ago even. Although what Giannis did on the court last night, even more impressive. Just 9 days after hyperextending his knee so badly, many feared he'd just be out for the rest of the playoffs, Giannis played 40 minutes, putting up 42 points on just 22 shots. He was a particular monster in the third quarter, dropping 20 in that frame alone, which ironically was the most in a quarter at the NBA Finals since Michael Jordan scored 22 against Charles Barkley's Suns back in 93. Now, the difference, of course, is that NBA's team actually won that game. Giannis's team did not, despite getting close a couple times down the stretch, and now the Bucks will have to once again try to regroup as the series turns and heads to Milwaukee. After the buzzer, we saw Chris Paul walk to the sideline and hug his close friend Dwayne Wade, who had flown into town to take in the game. As Wade hugs CP, you can hear him say, "Two more, bro, two more." And that is indeed the crux of it. The Suns are halfway to a championship, or maybe we should say they are 0.5 of the way to a place where all those half seconds are adding up to possibly a very shiny trophy. So, guys, the story of Game 2 was the Suns dominating from the perimeter with all of that 0.5 passing, while Giannis and the Bucks had their way inside. So, Richard, what was working so well for the Suns in Game 2 as you saw them take advantage of that quick thinking?
Well, honestly, you know, the Bucks, the way they played defense, And that's great defense that the Bucks played on that possession that you were showing. They're scrambling around. There's everyone's touching the ball. Everyone's scrambling, running guys off the line. But the Phoenix Suns are just so good. And when you shoot 20 for 40 from three, that's difficult. But I also want to point out something. That is like the second most in NBA history behind 24 from a former Cavs team that I was on. But there's a commonality there. Shut up. I'm sorry. You know what? I was told that I'm not nice enough to you, so I apologize. So just hush it for a second. There's a commonality there. Both were against a Coach Bud-led team.
Right.
And so it's like 23s against Coach Bud, 24 threes against Coach Bud. These are the little things that they're talking about, in-game adjustments, running guys off the line. But the Bucks are trying their best. They just look a step slow.
Well, I mean, they have more than enough help, right? It's just how you're going to utilize it, right? And that comes on Coach Bud. And I get it, right? People saying Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday has to play better, and they do, right? But they also have to be put in position to play better. And I say that because when you go back and look at the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 5 and Game 6, Chris Middleton, Jrue Holiday, with the ball in their hands, those guys were phenomenal without Giannis on the floor. So the Milwaukee Bucks have to find a way to get their big three going at the same time offensively. They're not doing that. Even when Giannis was dominating in the third quarter, what ended up happening is a bunch of guys were just standing around watching, right? So you have to find a way to get Jrue Holiday going, get Chris Middleton going, get them easier looks where they're not just playing off of Giannis or being spot up shooting guys and being able to have the ball in their hands to have some type of rhythm.
Perk is 100% right. The last thing I wanted to
Did
add.
Did Chris Bosh speak?
Oh, I didn't. Where's Chris at? Where's Chris? Chris
is here. I'm right here.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah, you forgot about me already. Oh, come on, man.
My bad, Hall of Famer. What you going to say?
His wife finally dressed him. He finally feeling a little swagged up, so he wanted to host the whole show. But go ahead, man. Go ahead and do your thing, CB. Well, don't mind him.
Well, I mean, look, if you're getting 60 points off of threes in the NBA Finals, you've got a good chance to win that game. The Bucks are going to have to do a better job of running them off the three-point line, like you guys were saying. But give the Suns credit. They got Book going after a game where we felt that he could have got it going a little more. He definitely responded. All those passes, of course, led by their captain and their point guard, Chris Paul. And just, I've got to give, recognition to Mr. Bridges, too. I think, 23, 27 points, something like that. If their role players are scoring 20-plus points a game and they're hitting 20-plus threes, I don't see another way that you can beat this team. You have to give credit to their ball movement. They had a great rhythm all game. And even when the Bucks cut it down to single digits, they never got rattled. They continued to execute. That was a huge three right there that put them in position back into double digits. And, you know, it's just finding those ways to get their offense going. But you got to give credit to the Suns. They're playing well right now. They've got a lot of confidence. Their bench is in a good rhythm. But most importantly, the players around Ayton, Chris Paul, and Devin Booker are playing very well right now. And I think that supporting cast has lifted them up and helped them get to 2-0.
Yeah, shout out to Bridges particularly. He was just phenomenal last night. And look, Giannis was phenomenal too, right? I mean, he did everything or his part to try to carry the Bucks. We can take a look here. He dropped 42 points in 40 minutes, 12 rebounds. It was not enough, though. And here is what Giannis had to say post-game about how he was feeling physically. Again, just 9 days ago, the man hyperextended his knee. Take a listen to him here.
You know, when I'm out there, it's not about testing no more. I'm out there, I'm, you know, trying to play, trying to help my team win in any way possible. I was out there both times, and that's what I tried to do. I think when you start thinking about your knee or thinking about your toe or pinky or whatever the case might be, you just, you know, make an excuse in your mind. You know, you're out there, just play the game. Do whatever you can, leave it out on the floor. No matter, you know, what the outcome is, you just live with it.
Giannis, the only Bucks player with a positive plus-minus in this series. They are a minus 27 in the 21 minutes he sat, struggling defensively in particular. So, Perk, who is it who needs to step up? Who are we asking to give Giannis more help?
Well, I mean, it's the guys that you paid the big bucks to, Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton, and I believe they will. You go back and look at their track record at home, those guys have played phenomenal. But it's the others, right? We see P.J. Tucker not being able to knock down those corner threes, which took him out the game, and they really need him in the game to actually slow down Devin Booker and Chris Paul. So what ends up happening is when he can't make shots, then Bud can't afford to have him out there on the floor. Role players will play better at home, mm-hmm. right? I don't expect Mikal Bridges, although I believe he's a hell of a young player, I don't expect him to go into Milwaukee and drop 27 again, right? He's at home.
Sure.
He has the fan base behind him. You know, they thrive off the energy, but this is why home court matters. This is why fans matter.
Well, and especially when you're talking about a Phoenix Suns that goes 20 for 40 from three. This is the thing. You know, P.J. Tucker, Giannis, Drew Holiday, and Khris Middleton all hit the same amount of threes. They all hit one. That's not going to be good enough here in the NBA Finals. They know that we know that. But you say this. You talk about it's the others, and you talk about superstars, or you talk about the role players playing better at home. Well, truth be told, I really think that Drew Holiday and Khris Middleton, when you look at their splits and how much better they play on the road versus at home, I think that gives a better insight to who they are. We keep wanting them to be superstars. Well, there's only probably about 8-9 superstars on this planet, but they are stars. But their numbers versus home and road are staggering. So yes, the Bucks are going to play better, but ultimately, are they going to be good enough to win games on the road? And they have to do that in order to win a championship.
I mean, yeah, Drew Holiday, you know, Khris Middleton, they know they have to play better. They have to play much better. I know we're in a part of the league where we shoot a lot of threes and we're in the fast-paced basketball, but it's kind of weird to see Brook Lopez out at the three-point line so much. I understand that that's their style of play and they have to get Giannis attacking the paint, but you know how hard it is, RJ and Per, guarding those big bodies down low, it wears on you. And you have to think, like, if the Suns are battling Brook Lopez in the paint, some of those shots and those long threes might come up a little short. So I think Brook Lopez definitely has to be more of a presence in the paint. They have to figure out some way to get him some touches down there and hopefully get some easy twos. Threes are great, but me as a player, I always wanted to see the ball go in the hole first. So if it's a layup, that would give me confidence. But they definitely are going to play better at home. I think it's just one of those situations where that's where you have to get to. We've got to get back home, figure these things out. Yes, P.J. Tucker, he is out there. He is their 3-and-D guy. He's going to have to hit three or four threes so he can stay out there on the court and be able to slow Book down.
Well, Khris, it's interesting because there's two separate kind of categories of players, right? These guys have mentioned the other two of Milwaukee's big three, if we're going to call it that, and then they quote other players, the more role players on the team. When you do have three stars on a team, but one of them is so dominant in terms of everything centers around them, the way it does with Giannis, the way it did with you guys with LeBron, especially starting the second year you guys were with the Heat, what pressure does that put on guys like you and Dwayne in that situation, or on Khris and Drew Holiday in this situation? Because it's not just straight, oh, you just go out and ball, because you have to work within the ecosystem where everything in that case was centered around LeBron, and in this case, everything is centered around Giannis.
Well, absolutely. I think this is where you have to lean on those habits that you've built throughout the whole year. You know, it takes 82 games, 72 in this case, but 72 games plus the playoffs to get to this point. You have to know who you are as a team. You have to build that rhythm. And look, the role players, you're just going to have to make shots. You know that Giannis is going to get in the paint. He had a tremendous performance, you know, an all-time classic finals game in game two. They know they're going to be open. And you're just going to have to step up, make plays, hit some mid-range shots, hit some threes. But more importantly, the ball has to go in the hole if Giannis kicks out to his teammates. That's going to build trust. That's going to give him confidence to continue to attack. And, you know, just as a role player, you just got to make it happen. So we'll see what they do. You do also have to give credit to the Suns defense because they are playing very good defense, running them off the line and making it hard for them. But, you know, in game three, they're definitely going to have to make plays. It's not about basketball or game plan anymore. Throw it out the window and just make plays.
Khris, we are so happy you're with us today. We're going to give you a little segment off, but please, you will be back with us in the show, so don't go too far. Coming up, we are going to talk about Dame Lillard, though, and how he wants to keep talk about his future with the Blazers in-house. What will that next move be? So last night on our ABC broadcast, Jeff Van Gundy was talking about all these fans that gather in that Deer District area outside the arena and saying, as fun as that looks, he would still prefer to be a fan watching the game from inside. Do y'all have a preference?
Well, here in Arizona, yes, I'd rather be inside. But there, are you kidding me? You know what this reminds me of? Tell me you're old without telling me you're old. Right. He's never been to Coachella. He's never been to Burning Man. Look, I got you. I got you next
year. Oh, my God. I believe we are going to need a Jeff Van Gundy Coachella Photoshop at some point, if it's not today.
I want the people.
Put me outside.
We were informed by the Bucks, by the way, it's not the Deer District. It's just Deer District. I don't know why.
Is there a difference?
I don't know, but I'm just to bring the information to the people.
I'm the Richard Jefferson.
We've got some news around the NBA outside of the two teams in the finals. Dame Lillard still dealing with speculation. His future with the Blazers could be in doubt. Portland hiring Chauncey Billups, of course, as their new head coach last month. And according to our Adrian Wojnarowski, today, Scott Brooks is finalizing a deal to become Billups' top assistant. Yesterday at Team USA practice, Lillard refused to take the bait when asked about his relationship with the team. Take a listen here.
But anything that I have to say, I'm going to say it directly to Neil, and I'm address it directly with my team. So I don't really have nothing to say to you guys about it. You know, it's a lot of things being said, and sometimes words being put in my mouth, and I haven't said anything.
All right, so Perk, first of all, that's very Dame, right?
Mm-hmm.
That being said, do you think the future holds for him?
Look, he's going to start the season off in a trailblazer uniform, I believe. I think he just don't want to speak on the situation because the last time he said something, you know, when they were asking him about the coaching hire and he voiced his opinion, he had to go back and forth with a few Twitter trolls and things like that. And people, newspaper writers from the Portland area. And I think Dame right now just want to be away from that. But I also think he's watching the front office and Neil very, very closely. You know, Chauncey was a great hire. That's a great first step. But now you have to make sure you get your roster straight. You know what I mean? You have to add those pieces to make him feel like, okay, we're moving in the right direction.
And look, I think this is a good situation for Dame because he learned what Perk said. When you kind of like have that control where they're like openly saying like, what can we do to calm this situation? You're going to navigate that. But sometimes there are mistakes in navigating that. I think coming out and saying some things and having his words twisted, he was like, look, anything I say now will be directly to the GM. That way I know if any of this stuff gets out, I know who's responsible. And so I think this should be handled in-house. You might have to vocalize it outwardly so that they listen to you in-house. But I think he's doing exactly what he should do. He's discussing what's the best way to move forward with the Portland Trailblazers.
We will see what happens. A continuing story. All right, still ahead on the jump, Devin Booker and Chris Paul made history in the finals last night. What can the Bucks do to try to slow down that backcourt? We will discuss that when we come back. Keep it locked. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm still here with Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins. Chris Bosh is back with us. Before we get into talking about the Suns' backcourt, I do want to just give an injury update. Our Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that the MRI on Suns forward Torrey Craig revealed no structural damage in his right knee. That is a huge relief right after he took that charge. Had to leave the court, did not come back into the game. They are now listing him as day-to-day, so shouts to the MRI. And some happy Suns fans there. Oh. I do want to talk about Devin Booker and Chris Paul, though, presenting a very difficult challenge for the Bucks. They've outscored Milwaukee's starting backcourt by a combined 46 points so far between games one and game two. So, Chris Bosh, what can the Bucks do to slow down the Book and CP3 show?
Well, I mean, it's easier said than done, right? These are two of the best players in the league. Chris Paul's got the eye of the tiger right now. I think he wants it more than anybody else in the world right now. And Book is definitely trying to establish himself as the young superstar of the league. But I think one of the things that the Bucks can do is really play better defense. I think I'm more of a traditional big. I like to see the bigs up in the screen and roll. Guarding right. Chris Paul is hard enough. If you've got a guy way back there in the paint and you're watching Chris Paul make these moves and you're reacting to his ball movement, you're reacting to all of those tricks, and you're reacting to his floaters and his mid-range jumpers, you're doing yourself, you're not doing yourself a favor. I think they have to be more aggressive on the defensive end and try to dictate the direction of Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Again, easier said than done, but right now, CP, he's been in the zone. I think in the last four or five games, he hasn't shot under 50%. So if the point guard is playing that efficiently and he's getting his assist and getting that ball moving and having everyone run all over the court, you're at a disadvantage.
It's so well said. And what can the Bucks do to slow down CP and Booker? This is the issue. When CP's at his best, everyone around their team benefits. When Giannis is at his best, like he was, I believe, last night, you don't know if everyone benefits around that. And that's what's so confusing about this Bucks team versus this Suns team. Because I'll tell you this. Let's say hypothetically that Giannis is the best player in this series. And I only say that because when Chris Paul's at his best, he's affecting his entire team. And so after that, it would go Giannis is number one, Chris Paul number two, then you would go Booker, then I would say Ayton. So it goes number one, Giannis, then the next three best players, in my opinion, in this series all belong on the Phoenix Suns. That shows how cohesive their team is. So trying to stop Booker and CP3 is really trying to stop the entire Phoenix Suns team.
Well, I'm going to answer your question, Rachel, and I think the way that you stop them is the same way that they're slowing down Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday, right? What we're not putting enough emphasis on is that the Phoenix Suns are doing a great job of making them spend a lot of energy on the defensive end.
Right.
So how you gotta
slow them down is by making them play defense. This is why I got to say with the Bucks, you got to put some structure in your offense. You got to make them guard. Just like with Richard, which when you was with the Cavs when y'all won the championship, which y'all used to do with Steph. Y'all was like, look, we're going to make you guard. Y'all switched up y'all whole game plan of bringing a big up in the pick and roll to bringing Steph up into the pick and roll and forcing him to switch so he won't have that much energy on the offensive end. So I think if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks, I'm trying to put them in as much action as possible. One, to wear them down. Two, to hopefully get them in foul trouble.
And you want to talk and you want to look at the Bucks not shooting the ball well. Did you see how much scrambling they had to do on defense?
Right.
When we showed this early in their show, there were 14 passes bouncing around.
Well,
that
Rachel, don't let the truth get in the way of us.
You should have said that when he had an opportunity. Don't I was, for what I said.
I was just trying to help people show that you don't make up stuff. He's actually correct once in a while because it's like that takes starts. Out of your offense.
I will say Devin Booker is not likely to hit 7 3-pointers in the next game. He's only done that one other time, and it actually was earlier in this playoffs when he hit 8 3-pointers in a game. But the 3-point shooting from the Suns, even though they didn't rank super high in it in the regular season, they're comfortable doing it. And it's funny, someone in the press conference last night asked Chris Paul, man, were your eyes a little open when you saw the stat sheet and saw it was 40 attempts and 20 makes? And he just looked at the reporter and said, I did play for the Houston Rockets, you know. I'm familiar with taking a lot of threes. I want to move over, though, physically to Milwaukee, because as we've been saying, the finals are shifting to, in the copy, I'm supposed to say they're shifting to Deer District, but I can't. It's to the Deer District.
Don't say you can't. You can do anything.
I don't want to insult the Deer District. Yeah. I just feel like there needs to be a "the" in front of it. I don't know. Milwaukee lost just one home game this postseason, so clearly the Deer District, however you want to say it, it is in effect. And by the way, that one loss at home, it took a 48-point game from Trae Young in order for that to happen. They are under 500 team in the road in these playoffs. So, Richard, you were talking before about splits, right? So, this Bucks team, home versus road, these splits are pretty remarkable.
It's remarkable, and mainly because it's not just the role players. It's your two other all-stars outside of Giannis. When you look at Chris Middleton scores 24 points a game at home on 47% shooting. On the road, it's 22 on 40%. Then when you look at Holiday, it's 19 on 45%. Away, he's 15 points a game on 37% shooting. shooting. Point being is that there is a severe drop-off, not of role players, but on your multi-time All-Star and Chris Middleton, and then on the other All-Star, Drew Holiday, that you brought in. You can't have that type of drop-off from your second and third best player, especially when it's expected to have a drop-off from your bench and the next group of role players.
Well, this is why I thought last night game was so important for the Bucks to win, because the Bucks haven't played against a team like the Phoenix Suns, right? This team is consistent at home and on the road, right? To me, they thrive better on the road. When I look at Devin Booker and some of his numbers that he's been putting up on the road, he's been playing pretty damn awesome, right? You look at DeAndre Ayton, he elevates his game on the road. When I watched them the second round against the Denver Nuggets and they swept them, we all know how hard it is to play in Denver in general, right? The altitude started to kick in. But when I started to see them elevate their game to another level in that series, I was like, nah, this team is ready for whatever. So I'm a little scared for the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm not saying that they're not going to win those two games, but they got to be very, very careful.
Yeah, Chris, you I'm take that same tip?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to agree with RJ and his numbers. There are a tremendous difference between home and on the road. So I'm sure the Milwaukee Bucks are very much so looking to get it back to their comfort zone to make sure they play that efficient basketball, especially for Middleton and Holiday. And I mean, you know, really, even in my own experience, you know that it is tough playing on the road. And yeah, those numbers are going to drop a little bit. You know, the defense is going to be a little more in your face. The home crowd is always going to have that energy, and you have to figure out how to get good shots. I think what the Milwaukee Bucks have to do is find out a way to get their fast break going. Usually when you see them, and I know Giannis is dealing with his knee, but when they're in the open court and they're playing fast and dynamic, that's when I think they're at their true form. So if I'm Budenholzer, I'm definitely telling my guys to get the rebound, push the ball, and look for easy opportunities in the fast break and in the open court. Then you can get that drive and kick game going, and then maybe put the Suns in a position where they're scrambling and you're making pass and dictating the passes and dictating the tempo.
Yeah, just play random basketball.
Yeah, look, Chris, this is all really smart basketball analysis, but before I let you go, I need your opinion on the Deer District issue. That area outside with all the fans, Deer District or the Deer District?
Whatever they want to call it.
Yeah. If it's Mama call him Clay, I'm going to call him Clay.
All right.
I think it's come to a point, Milwaukee, name your place and make sure, you know, get a Twitter handle and you'll be good.
There you go. Wise man, wise words, a Hall of Famer. Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. We will have you back throughout the finals, but always such good perspective. And everyone else, stick with us. Coming up, Suns part owner and NFL superstar receiver Larry Fitzgerald is joining The Jump. We're going to talk about the special run the Suns are on, any friendly wagers he may or may not have with Aaron Rodgers, who is a Bucks part owner. Stick around. You're watching The Jump. And we now are thrilled to welcome in 11-time Pro Bowler, future Hall of Famer, one of the most exceptional athletes I have ever gotten to cover. We go way back. Thank you, friend, for joining us here on The Jump today.
Absolutely. It's such great to be with you, Rachel. I appreciate you having me on today.
Absolutely. All right, we got to ask, because you actually own a minority stake in the Phoenix Suns, and I need to tell everyone what the Larry Fitz effect is on winning people. In the 4.5 seasons before you bought into the Suns, they had the worst record in the NBA. But if you start counting, Larry, from the day you bought into the team, January 2020, going forward from there, the Suns have the best record in the NBA.
Okay.
So, Larry, what has owning a stake in this team been like? And also, now that you know you have this effect on winning, I just want to know if there's other teams in sports that should be calling you and offering a piece of their clubs.
Oh, man, you know what I think is a little coincidence? I happened to be coming in a few months before Chris Paul got to town. What Chris has done, it's unbelievable. I mean, he's made every single person and player around him challenging every single person. And you see what he's done for Devin. You see what he's done for Mikhail. You see what he's done for DeAndre, Jay, and just everybody else. You know, the influence he's had on Cameron Payne. I mean, it's been unbelievable to see just what he can do, how he's able to galvanize the team. It's been a real special ride.
Larry, Big Perk here, man. I'm so happy to finally be up here and be able to talk and conversate with a real Arizona legend. And I just wanted to talk to you about your relationship and your interactions with Chris Paul through this run. I want to talk about his leadership and how it stands out and how it feels like similarity to how you try to lead.
Well, Chris has been great. I've had a great relationship since he was at Wake Forest. I came in a year before him. We used to go play at an event down in North Carolina, not too far from his hometown, with Hoop T. And so we got to know each other way back in 2005, and we've kept a close relationship since that point. He's been a wonderful friend. He's really helped me a lot out in the business world, helping me with insight on things. And his brother CJ has also been great. The Paul family in general is just an amazing, amazing family. I'm privileged to know them all, and I'm just so glad that Chris is playing on our team now.
Well, as an adopted Phoenician, don't let Big Perk come between you and I, all right? Larry, we know where we stand. We understand.
I wouldn't allow it.
Thank you. You understand. But this is the thing. You're not the only NFL player that has, you know, a minority stake in here in the finals. Aaron Rodgers, you know, the adopted, you know, son of Milwaukee, owns a portion of that team. Please tell me you guys have some sort of side bet. Please tell me there's a side bet. Oh. And will you tell us what it is?
I can't tell you what it is, but we definitely do have something on the line. I was able to spend some time with Aaron out in Montana for the last few days, and we flew here to Tahoe together. And, you know, obviously there was a lot of friendly banter, and he's pulling hard for the Milwaukee Bucks as I'm pulling for the Phoenix Suns. And it's going to be a great series.
Now, RJ mentioned Aaron Rodgers. While we're getting into the topic of football, I got to ask you the real question. Are you planning on returning for an 18th season with the Cardinals?
Well, I haven't decided on anything, Rachel. I'm just sitting here playing golf and having a good time and enjoying the camaraderie with the guys, honestly. You know, training camp starts in a few weeks, and, you know, I'm excited. It's going to be another great season for the NFL, and there's a lot of wonderful stars out here, Patrick Mahomes and Patrick Peterson and Adam Thielen, a lot of great players out here, and be able to spend time with them, you know, it really makes you feel at home.
That is a vet answer, Kendrick,
oh,
right?
So good.
That was so smooth.
Give an answer like that. You never give an answer.
I mean, he's the ultimate professional. So
okay.
It's good.
Right.
It's
okay.
Good. He's a great guy.
Look, I picked the Suns to win in six. What do you got? What's your call? I know you can give us the political. We know where your allegiance stands. What do you think that was going to happen?
Bridget, I mean, it wouldn't matter if it was in four, five, six, or seven, as long as, you know, we bring a championship home to the great state of Arizona. You know, I think everybody in our state will be elated. And, you know, I'm pulling for the Suns.
Right.
I'm pulling for Chris. I'm pulling for Book and the guy. So I'm whatever it takes.
Larry gets the Larry. That's my goal.
Yeah, you want Larry Fitzgerald holding Larry O'Brien.
That's
all
what
right.
I want.
Really? Thanks so much for joining us. Little crunch time here on The Jump. Louisiana teenager Zaila Avant-Garde becoming the first African-American in the 96th history of the Scripps National Spelling Bee to win it. Spelling is not the only thing she's good at, though, gentlemen. She also hoops. Mm. Take a look at this. She's got Guinness records in dribbling.
What do you think
of her skills on the court?
Perk, you put out a video like this. She got more handle than you.
I mean, that's perfectly fine. Do your thing, home girl. Student athlete, I love it. This is not about me or not about you, Richard. This is about this lovely young lady right here. Stop making everything about you, bro. Mm.
I said nothing about me. I was talking about you, but she is outstanding. This is so impressive. When you see athletes and you see how smart they can be and you can see that they can accomplish literally anything along the lines, and she's so young, she's got a bright future.
I think we're going to have a spelling bee on this show maybe next week. We'll discuss that.
Woj reporting
that the Magic are closing in on Mavs assistant Jamal Mosley as their next head coach. Richard, you know him so well. What kind of fit do you think he'd be in Orlando?
I think he's amazing. And again, these are the type of opportunities. They have some first-round picks. They do have some young talent. They traded away Vucevic. So they're in a rebuilding phase. But he has been putting in the work. It's been so impressive. He has been learning from the best coaches. Rick Carlisle, he's been around. He was in Cleveland. He's been around George Karl. He has so much. And also, he was one of the early favorites when they talked about Luka because of his relationship with players. And so I'm excited for him.
No, I mean, Richard said a mouthful.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to game three.
No,
first of all, congrats to him for being considered for that opportunity. We will see if he gets it. But let's move to game three. Perk, as the series shifts to Milwaukee, we only got 30 seconds left in the show.
I'm going with Milwaukee. No way they losing game three. They're in a must-win situation. Role players, the others will play better. P.J. Tucker will not be shooting the ball off the side of the backboard. He's going to make shots. Brooke Lopez is going to establish himself. Bucks win game three.
All right.
Go ahead.
I do want to just point out that in the Deer District, you said that it was going to be like Coachella.
Yes.
So our guys put Gundy and Coachella.
And you got to put them up on the shoulders.
Right?
You got to put them up on the shoulders.
Like a senior citizen.
Love you, Jeff.